It's Wells Fargo, but not just Wells Fargo. I'm David Brancaccio. Some compensation is on the way for Wells Fargo customers who suffered at the hands of the bank. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has announced a settlement with Wells Fargo, paying $3.7 billion in fines and damages. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is following this. First, Nancy, what are government regulators saying the bank did to its customers?
The CFPB says Wells Fargo was fined $1.7 billion for legal violations. The agency says the bank didn't record some mortgage or car payments properly, so people's vehicles or homes were wrongfully repossessed. The agency says the bank also charged surprise overdraft fees, even though customers had enough money in their accounts when the transaction was authorized.
And Wells Fargo customers will get money back now?
Yeah, Wells Fargo was ordered to pay more than $2 billion in damages to more than 16 million customers who were hurt by these violations. And that includes refunds of fees that shouldn't have been charged, compensation for illegally repossessed vehicles, wrongfully foreclosed homes, and for bank accounts that were improperly frozen.
The CFPB emphasizes Wells Fargo is a repeat violator. What is the bank saying now?
It issued a statement saying the settlement is an important milestone in its work to transform itself. The bank says it's a different company today. Aaron Klein, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, told us that now regulators should look into whether other banks are charging these surprise overdraft fees.
A lot of little banks and credit unions have been playing the overdraft game, and it's time for other regulators to focus on illegal and immoral overdraft practices of smaller institutions.
And David, the CFPB says it's not taking its eye off Wells Fargo, and it'll look into whether other restrictions are needed.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Well, it's the 21st, the solstice. I can't guarantee things will get better from here, but the days will get longer. And Dow futures are up about 238 points, 0.7%. S&P futures up 0.5%. NASDAQ futures up 0.3%. Elon Musk says he will abide by the results of the Twitter poll he commissioned and will at some point step down as CEO of Twitter if he can find someone to take his place. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Elon Musk tweeted that he would step down after finding someone, quote, foolish enough to take on the job of Twitter's chief executive. However, he also said he would remain in charge of the company's software and servers teams, meaning he won't leave day-to-day operations entirely to someone else. Still, it is the first time since he took the company private in late October that Musk has indicated he would step away from running Twitter. His tenure has been marked by numerous controversial decisions and reversals. The company is now laden with billions of dollars in debt because of Musk's acquisition, and he says it could end up in bankruptcy. Musk has laid off a majority of Twitter's staff, and according to Bloomberg, he is projecting the company will break even in 2023 because of that cost cutting. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Tribal economies were hit especially hard by the pandemic, and tribal governments received an unprecedented amount of federal funding to help dig out. But the deployment of the money wasn't always smooth. According to a new report from the Government Accountability Office, Marketplace's Savannah Marr has that.
The problem started early with a delay in distributing CARES Act money.
Our funding didn't come down as quickly as to other states and municipalities.
Wayne Ducheneau with the Native Governance Center says tribes needed that relief funding fast, but it didn't arrive until June of 2020, 7 weeks after the government's own deadline.
So by the time the funding got to Indian Country, a lot of the resources that were needed to be brought in with CARES Act money,
like personal protective equipment and building materials for carrying out infrastructure projects,
were already going to other places.
Then came confusion around spending rules and deadlines, says Liz Malerba with United South and Eastern Tribes.
tribal nations are asking the federal agency whether a project or a funding purpose is allowed.
Like, can we use this money to build housing or distribute it for food and rental assistance? But instead of giving those questions a thumbs up or down,
they're citing back to their own guidance that is causing the confusion in the first place.
Malerba says tribes second-guessed badly needed spending, fearing they'd have to pay the money back. Anna Maria Ortiz, who wrote the GAO report, heard similar stories.
Tribes couldn't do the kind of planning they needed to really invest the funds where they needed to go.
She says the agencies that did the best job distributing funds were those like the Department of Interior, which has existing relationships with tribal governments. Blunders came from those that had been neglecting their treaty and trust responsibilities and got caught flat-footed.
By increasing the capacity of federal agencies to work with tribes, they're going to be in a better place to design and administer programs that serve tribes.
Since the start of the pandemic, some federal agencies, including Treasury, have launched tribal affairs offices. Eric Henson, with Harvard's Project on American Indian Economic Development, says that's an important legacy.
It might take 500 years of good investment and effort to overcome a couple hundred years of disinvestment and malfeasance.
But Henson says the first step is engaging with tribes on an ongoing basis before there's a crisis. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And the IRS has a policy of auditing the tax returns of sitting presidents. A report by the House Ways and Means Committee says this did not happen with President Donald Trump. One audit was started for Trump's 2016 return, but it didn't wrap up until he left office. The New York Times got a look at Trump's returns just released by that committee and found the then president paid a combined $1.1 million in federal income tax during his time in office, but paid zero his last presidential year as his business losses mounted. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.